I'm so glad to see Sharon this morning. She used to come here years ago, and we're glad she's here today. And brother, I want you to stand and introduce yourself and say a few words for the Lord this morning. I know you've worked hard for God for many years.
Well, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to have a soulmate for life. The Lord's given me many things over the years. About a little over 30 years ago that I walked the aisle, and I didn't really know what I was doing, sister, but God knew what He had in store, and I kneeled at an old-fashioned altar and gave my heart to Jesus Christ. A guy came around after that, shook my hand, and said, "That's the best decision you've ever made." And I can tell you right now, that's the best decision I ever made in my life.
Hallelujah.
When I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I've been through many valleys, many storms. There's been times when if it hadn't been for God, I would have went my separate way, but God held me. He's the good shepherd. He's the mighty Lord. He's the Almighty. I'll tell you what, if you'll just reach out and let Him touch you, He'll keep you in this life.
You Amen.
Know what, that old-fashioned altar that we need to get back to, that's the thing I preach nowadays. If we just get out of an old-fashioned altar and pray, God will touch us again just like He used to. If we'll get out of an old-fashioned altar again, God will pour His Spirit out again like He used to. If we'll get down in an old-fashioned
Amen.
Altar, let God touch
Amen.
I'm sorry, she didn't mean to preach, but don't ask the preacher to testify. You know, but we appreciate you and the Lord and what He's doing here.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, God moves first through prayer. If we get real serious-minded about the Lord and begin to seek His face, He'll do great signs and wonders in our lives. And that's what we need. We're not going to make it without the Lord in these last days. You may think you can, but you'll come up to a place that you can't get past, and you're going to have to call on God. I want to thank Him this morning that He woke up talking to me. I woke up and the Lord was talking to me about getting established in Him and getting strengthened and settled. We're not supposed to be wavering around out here. I mean, we're supposed to have Jesus living in us. It doesn't matter what your neighbor or people at work are doing. What are you doing? What about yourself? It says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I think there needs to be a holy fear of God. There's not much reverence and respect for the Lord anymore. I've heard people praying, talking to Him like He's some kind of dog. Well, if you don't do this and you don't do that, I'm not going to serve you anymore. How pitiful. The very God that gives you breath to breathe, that died, that you could have a good life here and in eternity. I was looking at that old newsletter that we put out and a poem I wrote back in the 70s about hell. You don't even hear anybody trying to warn somebody about hell. The truth sets people free, and if you're going to sit on it,
Amen.
Like a setting hen on eggs, it's not going to hatch. You know, we need to get up and get to where we need to be in the Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, I want to thank You today for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because without You, we can do nothing. And we totally depend upon You, Lord, for our spiritual food, that You would speak to our heart today. In the name of Jesus. I need you to turn over to 2 Thessalonians. And I'm sure y'all have read that before. This Word of God is powerful, and it's anointed, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it cuts loose all that stuff that Satan tries to crowd in around your thinking processes. We're going to start with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Well, we all know Jesus is coming just most any time. This thing is really getting serious. We got a drought in Texas, and you don't know the full consequences of that drought. The stock tanks have dried up. The cattle can't get any water. The hay's not producing. The corn and the grain crops are not producing. And there goes the bread. It says in the Bible it'll take a day's wages to buy a loaf of bread. The breads and the cereal. Well, these farmers are selling everything they own. What's going to happen to them? You just don't go in the store and just pick this stuff up and take it for granted. It's got to come from somewhere. Now, God said he would supply your daily bread. Are you asking him for it? Do you pray before you start eating all that stuff? Do we stop and think that it's the Lord that is feeding us? And it says you're not to be soon shaken in mind, body, or spirit. Well, the least little thing to rattle out of the box, we get all stressed out. Well, what's going to happen now? What are we going to do? I lost my job. Can't pay my bills. My husband's not treating me right. He won't work. All these things that goes on, what are you going to do about that? Said right here that you be not soon shaken in mind, body, or spirit. Where you got your eyes looked to? Amen. Are they looking to another person, or they got their eyes on Jesus? He said he's a very present help in the time of trouble. If you'll call on him, he'll answer. Amen. That's what it says. Can you humble yourself before Jesus and say, Lord, I need your help? I used to think I could handle everything. My first husband, every time we'd have any trouble, he'd say, well, Mama, what are we going to do? I don't know, but I'll think of something. Well, you're going to come to the end of that one of these days. And you're going to have you a mess that you can't get yourself out of. And that's where we're going to see a great move of God. The Lord's going to be hearing a whole bunch of strange voices. Who is that calling my name? That's what the trouble's for. To bring you to the Lord. He loves you so much. And he told me that he was about to shake heaven and earth. Well, it's happening. And he's going to shake everything that can be shaken. And only that which cannot be shaken will remain. And that should be your faith in God. Amen. The trials and the testings comes to make you strong, where you don't fold up like a $2 bill the first thing that happens. We had some problems this week, and I thought I'd get real upset, and I just sat there. I said, well, thank God. And then he gave me a dream that night and showed me this little grapevine that was growing up out of the ground. And this person has been born again, and it's praying. You know what? We just start as a little seed. And we can grow into a huge tree that can be shelter to others. And he's always telling me, we've been put here to help one another. Who do you help? And you say, get out of my way. I run into a spiritual conflict the other day going to yard sale. And I've already told Terry about it, but I just walked in the man's yard like a little innocent bird. And he comes charging. Did you put that handbrake on that? That's going to roll down here into my house. And he was shaking his fist in my face, and he looked like Satan himself. And I just turned and walked and got in my van. And J.W. said, what's the matter? And I said, we're leaving. But you know what? You learn how to be silent. You learn how to keep your mouth shut. It takes two people to have a fight, and the devil is always wanting to fight. He comes to kill and destroy. But the Bible says silence is the beginning of wisdom. It'll keep you from getting knifed in the gut. People going nuts out there. All you got to do is agitate them and they'll get you. If you'll walk softly before the Lord and trust Him with all your heart and lean not to your own way of thinking, He'll direct your steps around all this stuff. Jay Davis says, what did he say? So I said, it was like a fifth chapter of Mark. You know, that man had come running out of the graveyard screaming when he saw Jesus. I stepped up on his property and he was full of the devil and he did not like me. So I didn't want to buy anything there anyway. I'd probably brought home a devil. Okay. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 5 through 9. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know, sometimes we think it, we know it all, but we ought to try to learn from somebody else that's got some experience. If you see they're walking straight in God, you can learn from that person. You're not supposed to follow them. You're supposed to follow Jesus. But they have learned a few things the hard way that they could share with you, save you some tears. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. That means don't look down on somebody and think you're better than they are. I mean, that's not the attitude of a Christ-like person. Just like Edith was talking about, that woman didn't want to carry that black man home. Well, he was a creation of God. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. There you go, right there. If you'll humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, then He will exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. If you'll let the Lord take care of you, He will. You don't have to carry all them burdens around on your back. Sometimes the world looks to the man to be strong and handle everything. Well, they're just human beings too. And they're subject to failure and mistakes. You need to get your eyes on Jesus. Be sober. That means be serious minded. Be vigilant. Stand on guard, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And you know, he knows he ain't got too much time left to drag you to hell. And he is hot on your trail every day. And he is especially going to be after the Christians to try to trip them up and make them fall. Yeah, I thought you was a Christian. The devil say, now look what you done. He starts whooping you with condemnation. Repent and get up and go on. There's no place in God to have a pity party.
Amen.
Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now you can listen to him talk to you all day long, or you can rebuke him and tell him to leave. Amen. The choice is yours. It says resist the devil and he will flee. And just like he told me last Sunday, there wasn't nobody coming to church. I said, oh, shut up. There is somebody already here. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. See, everybody has got a situation. Everybody is going through afflictions and trials and testings that's walking with God. You know why you go through stuff to make you stronger? If the wind never did blow on a little tree, it wouldn't grow. It wouldn't. Its roots wouldn't go deeper. It wouldn't get strong. The Lord wants you to be strong and of good courage and face your trials. And He's always saying, work your way through it. Whatever happens, just work your way through it. You need to water your roses just like you water yourself with the Word of God, or they'll die. That heat is out there and them little things. I had a little squirrel come scratched on that glass door yesterday, and he was needing a drink. So we set him a pan of water out there, and here he come and got him a drink. These little rabbits and squirrels and everything belongs to God. And they're all suffering because of the heat. The Lord had told me a couple of weeks ago that the little birds was going to be acting different. All creation is in turmoil, and everything going on for the coming of the Lord. The weather, everything is all messed up. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, that's after you've been put in God's furnace and tried and tested. There's been times I've been through stuff, and then the Lord will come along and he'll say, do you still love me? Have you ever had the Lord ask you that after you've been through something? Do you still love me? He wants to know if you still love him, even though he's allowed you to go through some serious stuff. That's the trying and testing of your faith. You can get mad at God and walk off. And you're not helping yourself at all when you do that. I've been mad at God before. You know, he's not going to answer every single prayer we pray because he knows what's best for us. And you know what? Everything you go through is strengthening you to help somebody else. Now, you know, I've buried 4 kids and 2 husbands and both my parents. Now, I have compassion for people that's lost somebody. Wouldn't you know that? Everything that you go through will work for good to them that love God. So don't go screaming and hollering because everything's not just exactly like it ought to be. And you know, Jennifer, you can minister to women in endurance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It takes work to be married. It takes prayer to be married.
Amen.
And it takes a commitment to be married. You don't take off the first fight out of the box. You know, he won't fight with me. He just fold his hands and lay there. So how can you fight with somebody like that? If you learn to keep your mouth shut, you can save a lot of fights. They won't ever start. I've learned that with my son-in-law about church people getting in his driveway and how all this stuff's been going on. We're building the fence and this and that. And the Lord said, be quiet. Because he wants to fight. And he doesn't know how to handle it because I won't fight. And the devil's the one who wants to fight. My people shall dwell in a peaceful and quiet habitation. You should have a safe place to be in your home and not let it be a war zone. And the woman is the one that puts up the walls. Jesus is the foundation. Now you got a job to. It doesn't make no difference if they ain't working, they ain't paying the bill, they ain't treating you right, and they say something that hurts your feelings or whatever. Now you got to be tougher than that. Say, praise God. If Paul and Silas could praise God when they've been beat half to death and put in these stocks, surely you can praise God because they hurt your feelings. Or they didn't do something they're supposed to do. Y'all better toughen up because you know, it said if the footmen wear you, what will you do in the swell of the Jordan when it gets really bad? It'll fold up like a $2 bill. Satan hates marriage and the home, and he's trying to pass all the laws for these homosexuals to be married and these lesbians, changing everything God has ordained. And you're going to have to fight to be married. Tell the devil, you ain't getting my home. Now here's what God spoke to me this morning. after that ye have suffered a while. See, you're in the furnace of God right now, and you're going through all kinds of things. But he stepped right in that fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he is with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be with you. Well, Jesus don't take off.
Amen.
If anybody does leave, and it's you. So after you've been through all of this, he says, I will perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. Now, isn't that worth it? It says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world's peace is. You know, my daughter works at Harrison. There was a guy who got a second diagnosis that was bad, and he went up to the parking lot and jumped off, deader than a mackerel. Couldn't face being sick. There's things that we have to go through. Well, it's not, do you think he enjoys being paralyzed? It's never entered his mind to jump off a building. He praises God every day. It takes courage to live. And my future is in God's hands. Paul settled in the spirit, and this is what he said. None of these things move me. And he got tried on every point there was. He said, this don't bother me. I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It said, in the world you shall have much tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome. And Jesus already went to the cross. He's already paid for your salvation. By the stripes on his back, he paid for your healing. And he said, all you got to do is follow me. I've already made the way. He got the keys from Satan. And he said, I'll give you power over all the power of the devil. There ain't anything going to hurt you. Work your way to it. And praise God and be a soldier. Being a Christian is not for old ladies and little kids all the time. God wants some men and some strong warriors, because we're sitting here at the coming of the Lord and all these people are just going into hell by the truckloads. And we're scared to open our mouth and afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings by mentioning Jesus. Now, what kind of witness is that? If you can't do nothing but leave a track wherever you've been, just leave a track and say, Jesus loves you, or the plan of salvation, or something. I've got all kinds of tracks back there. If you don't have no tracks, do something. Amen. All I know is the Lord don't go by numbers. He goes by individuals. You know, he left the 99 for that one that was over there in that graveyard possessed. And Satan tried to head him off by causing that storm and thought he'd shipwreck him out there at sea. But Jesus rebuked the wind. When he sets out to do something, he's going to do it if you'll stay with him. I don't care what kind of storm you're facing. If you got your mind made up, you're going with God, he'll hang in there with you. He was in that fiery furnace with them three. They said, we don't know if our God's going to deliver us or not, but we're not going to bow down to your God. Do you have that kind of determination to be a Christian today? There ain't no game playing going on anymore with Jesus. You either going to be all the way in or you're going out. There's lots of people getting turned over to a reprobate mind because they've been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And they don't even know when the Lord was finished with them. There was this young boy in Brother Shambach's meeting one night, and he was pleading with that boy to give his heart to God, and he was resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Got on his motorcycle and he was crying and the tears moistened up that helmet and he couldn't see and he had a wreck and was killed. And Shambach was crying and pleading with that boy to give his heart to God. He wouldn't do it. Thought, well, I'm young, I got things I want to do, and I'll live for God later. God not playing games no more. There ain't no game playing in the Lord. We're coming in down here to the end of the age. Oh, I've heard that all my life. Well, yeah, maybe you have. Look how they did poor old Noah. He was working on that ark. Lashed and mocked and ridiculed that man. And the minute it starts to rain, you know, it didn't used to rain before that. It was just a mist would come up off the ground. And the minute it began to rain, they was pounding on that door wanting in, but it was too late. Whoever read that book about that woman that went to hell, Sonia, I think you did. That book and how that these people were encased in these pits with brimstone lying, and that the friends of ours went over to Sodom and Gomorrah on a vacation, and them stones are still laying over there, and they brought one home and put it in the spoon and lit it, and it was so hot it burned a hole in the spoon. God rained fire and brimstone down on them over there. These pits are lined with that in hell, and in each pit there's a soul. And when Jesus would walk by with that woman, he said, "Oh, Jesus, you just let me out of here, we'll serve you." And said the Lord was crying, and he said, "I'm sorry, the judgment's been set." And the backslid preachers in hell, I think they had the worst punishment of all, because they wouldn't stay with God, and they knew the Bible, and they knew the calling. And they turned their back on the Lord and went the other way. And they were encased in a wall where they could not see anybody, and they were left with all these demons to torment them throughout all eternity. That's what hell is. You've heard a lot about heaven, and it is a real place. Billy, a lady that comes here, she's had surgery and she's not here today, but she was taken to heaven back when she was younger. And she said it's the most beautiful place there could ever be. And I've read stories of people that died and went to heaven and come back to tell us what a wonderful place it is. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord if you're Christian. So what does it matter what kind of suffering you have here? It's not anything compared to hell. But we've all been given a free will to choose. And God is not going to make nobody serve. It's up to you. It says, "Choose you this day and you shall serve." And I wasted so many years of my life running from the call of God. And that's where I lost my kids. That's where I would always be, always in the hospital. I was so mean. I was a waitress, and someone sold a steak one night, and I was swamped, and I had a whole bunch of Mexican food, and someone come along and got that steak, and I got the butcher knife from Wesley. I said, "I'll kill him. If I buy that steak, I'll kill him." And he said, "Oh, no, Joyce, Joyce," he was Baptist, he was a Christian. He said, "Oh, Joyce, calm down, calm down." And God had me covered even in that way I was, because I never found that steak, and I know that didn't have bad teeth. But the Lord was looking out for me in my awful condition. And I thank Him that He brought me through all this stuff that I went through to get to where I am today. And I'm not turning back. I don't have anything to turn back to. That's the message this morning. You better be rooted and grounded and have a made up mind, or you're going to get shipwrecked, because all hell is fixing to break loose on this earth. And that's God. You'll not be able to make it on your own, I guarantee you. There'll be no way. You'll have so many problems, you'll never be able to work your way out from underneath. "Oh, well, I got a job, and I can pay this, and I can work extra hours, I can work overtime, and blah, blah, blah." Maybe you can, and maybe you can't. Maybe there ain't going to be no overtime. Maybe there ain't going to be a job. Yeah.
We're going to anoint these babies this morning. This one and this one.
That's Ethan, Samuel, and Jonathan Isaac.
Now, when you dedicate a baby to the Lord, this is what it means. Before God, you're vowing that you will train that child up to know the Lord. That's what it is. That you want to raise that baby to know Jesus. And you have to live a Christian life as an example to this child. That it says you train up the child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, because he's had the Word of God put in him already.
Amen.
And so, whoever is going to stand in for this baby to train him needs to come up here and bring the baby. Are you the daddy?
No, that's boy's brother.
We need whoever's going to raise the child.
That's the boy's brother, but and Liza, well, his mother.
Okay. See, they brought baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord, and that meant they wanted to raise that child. Any kind of thing. I want to pray for you to understand that.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for Liza and her life, Lord God. And I want to thank you that you would help her, Lord, to support her little family, to have her own place, Lord, her own home, and be able to handle her own family. In the name of Jesus, Lord, anoint her and give her your wisdom. And see that, Lord, that she has everything that she needs for these children. In the name of Jesus. Where's the other one?
David, he's dead.
Now, you've been racing on God. And I saw it in your eyes when you're sitting back here. And it doesn't matter what the rest of your family does. It matters what you do. Mm-hmm. And you need to go forward in the Lord because I see God all up in you. And don't forsake God. And He'll work on the other situations going on around you. But you set your face like a flint to follow God. And He wants to use you. And she does. Your grandpa has given you a spiritual heritage that is more valuable than any person's possession. And that man has laid his whole life down to serve God. And your heritage is rich in God. And He wants to use you. And I don't know if you're going to be doing music or preaching or singing or what you're going to do. But you're going to be up front in God's house. Someplace. You say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You put in your heart what He wants you to do. I never realized you could grow up. He was just about his size.
Yeah.
Last time I saw him, he was about his size. You can help your grandpa if he needs help too over there in that church. You could come help me. And what about you? Are you going to serve God?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, Lord Jesus. That's anointing at all. Do you play music?
Yes.
Will you play something for us this morning? We got all these guitars there, and we don't have one single musician.
No.
He has a beautiful voice. This Audie has a beautiful voice from the Lord.
So what are you going to do for God? Look here what I did this week. I'm all bruised up and carrying in food to help people. You need to do something for the Lord. Because He's done a lot for you. Pray and ask Him what He wants you to do. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just claim this man's talent for your glory in the name of Jesus. And his whole life, Lord God, would you take over and lead and guide him and direct him. And show him that you love him so much that he'll never leave you. He'll never leave you. People may leave you, but he will never leave you. He will never leave you. You don't ever have to worry about being alone. You don't have to worry about being alone. You're never alone. I'll always be with you. I'll always be with you. God, show me a great old thing. Oh, no, my. And I think Jesus knew what it was. thing that any of us has to deal with. He's already been there. I don't know if anybody else needs prayer today. You know, God touched you last week. He didn't touch you.
I did that at home.
Have you been singing?
Oh, yeah. In Spanish.
Well, Spanish is gone.